the Raleigh Cigarette Program, starring Red Skelton, Dave Rose and his orchestra, our singing star, Anita Ellis, Verna Felton, Lorene Tuttle, Pat McGee, and Dick Ryan, and yours truly, Rod O'Connor. From Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, we present the star of the Raleigh Cigarette Program, Red Skelton.
Thank you. Thank you very much and good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait a minute.
Well, I start off with a bang, boy. If I ever learn to read, I'm a failure in this business, too. Until we start over again or just put a black band on our arm and continue.
What's new, Red?
Huh?
I say, what's new?
Huh? Now, look, don't call me Richard from now on, will you? I don't want to go to Washington.
Well, Red, seriously, you've sure been a busy
Richard, you've sure been a busy man this past week,
doing command performance for the Army, attending the Postmasters and Oil Drillers Convention, and the Press Photographers Ball.
Yeah, the Press Photographers had a costume ball.
Mm-hmm. Costume party?
Yeah.
What'd you go as?
I went as a Russian delegate and spent the whole night walking out. You know? I went around vetoing everything. Finally, I had one of their drinks and it vetoed me.
Well, now let's take each show in order. Last Tuesday after our show, you did the Christmas show for Command Performance. What's that?
Well, Command Performance, you see, I do a show for the War Department, and they send the record overseas to a camp, see? And then that camp sends it to another camp, and then that camp sends it to another camp. Finally, it gets to some little camp, and they got no place to send it to, so they got to listen.
Oh, you're too modest, Red. You're one of the top comedians in show business. Everything you do makes me laugh.
Well, thanks, Rod. Did you get your check this week?
Yeah, that made me laugh, too.
Wait a minute. Boy, he'll pencil them in.
Well, what'd you do Wednesday night?
Wednesday, I entertained the Oil Drillers Convention at Long Beach Auditorium.
Oil drillers, huh?
Yeah.
Crude?
Oh, a couple of them ate with their knives, yeah.
See, that must be an exciting profession,
yeah,
drilling
you know,
oil.
Yeah, you know how they do it?
Oh.
Well, they bore a hole in the ground, see, and then they light a match over the hole. If it blows up, you had a well.
Listen. That sound of fresh, pure moisture stands for the new, all-new Raleigh 903 cigarette. It's moisturized to cut down throat irritants. Yes, it's moisturized to cut down those throat-irritating tars present in even the finest tobaccos. That's why a jury of 14 distinguished doctors agrees no other leading cigarette gives you less throat irritants than the new, richer-tasting, yet milder-smoking Raleigh 903.
Yes, Raleigh 903 is moisturized by the revolutionary new 903 process to cut down throat irritants. That's why Raleigh 903 brings you a rich, full-flavored, yet milder-smoking cigarette.
Smokers, follow the lead of Maria Montez, starring in Atlantis, a Seymour Nebenzahl production released through United Artists. Miss Montez says, quote, I chose the new 903 Raleigh every time because it's moisturized. It tastes better and it's milder smoking, unquote. So, friends, why not take this tip from Miss Montez? Smoke Raleigh 903, moisturized to cut down throat irritants. Remember, it's moisturized to cut down throat irritants.
And here's our beautiful Anita Ellis, and what are you going to sing tonight?
Ballerina.
I couldn't pronounce it, that's why I asked.
Ballerina, dance, and do your pirouette in rhythm with your aching heart. Dance, ballerina, dance, you mustn't once forget a dancer has to dance the part. Whirl, ballerina, whirl, and just ignore the chair that's empty in the second row. This is your moment, girl. Although he's not out there applauding as you steal the show. Once you said his love must wait its turn, you wanted fame instead. I guess that's your concern. We live and learn and love is gone. Ballerina gone. So on with your career. You can't afford a backward glance. Dance on and on and on. A thousand people here have come to see the show as round and round you go. So ballerina, dance, 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 dance on.
Well, that was beautiful, Anita. The Skelton Scrapbook of Satire, Volume 3. Ah, shut up. Boy, no matter what he's supposed to play, it's chopsticks every time. Tonight we present another nighttime serial entitled
The Haircut.
Well, here I am. Oh, I'm always chasing rainbows.
I'll chase anything that's got a curve in it, boy.
Yes, sir, boy, this is a great day to be alive. Of course, that's my hard luck again, you know. Well, here's Granucci's barber shop here. I think I'll get my hair cut. My ma had to buy me back from the dog catcher 3 times this week. Boy, look at all the stripes on that pole there. Oh, it looks like some top sergeant going nuts on it. I'll just go in and get a trim, have it shortened so I won't be tripping over it all the time.
Howdy.
Howdy doody to you, too.
What were you doing so long out in front of the shop just now?
Well, I'm trying to finish that peppermint stick out there.
That's barber pole. Are you really that stupid?
Oh, I'm holding back a little. Ain't what it says, but it'll have to do. Look, how much do you charge for a haircut?
For you, chum, $1.25.
What does that include?
Both heads.
Say, ain't you the fella that cut my hair the last time?
No, he was shot in the Civil War.
I think Edna loused me up. You got the best of it. $1.25, huh? Say, that's kind of high, you know. Maybe I better go back to cutting it myself. I used to cut my hair all the time, you know. Of course, then my lawnmower broke down on me. Look, I'll bring you a lot of business. I'll spread it around to my friends, both of them, you know. Well, how about giving me a flat rate?
My price has nothing to do with the shape of your head.
Yeah. Well, brother, this will never happen again. Okay.
$1.25. After all, I've got to live, you know.
Oh, maybe you're just greedy. I get along without it, you know. Say, how about cutting my hair and then if I don't pay you in 30 days, you can just keep my hair.
What don't you do me?
Get it out. Frost warning is coming on. What good would my hair do you? What good would my hair do you?
Yeah, what good would my hair?
Well, I don't know. You can't find any better chicken wire, you know. What do you say?
Look, corn pawn, I'm busy. Come on, now get out of here.
Here, don't shove me. Here. Now, honey, you like that? You slam the door in my face. I'll go to the police. I'll go to the mayor. I'll go to Congress. I'll go home as soon as you get my nose out of the door.
Clem get a haircut, or does the dog catcher net him again? Listen next week when we present Chapter 2 of The Haircut! Listen! That sound of fresh, pure moisture stands for the new, all-new Raleigh 903 cigarette. It's moisturized to cut down throat irritants. Yes, it's moisturized to cut down those throat-irritating tars present in even the finest tobaccos. That's why a jury of 14 distinguished doctors agrees no other leading cigarette gives you less throat irritants than the new, richer-tasting, yet milder-smoking Raleigh 903. Yes, Raleigh 903 is moisturized by the revolutionary new 903 process to cut down throat irritants. That's why Raleigh 903 brings you a rich, full-flavored, yet milder-smoking cigarette. Get the new Raleigh 903. You'll see the number 903 on the package. Remember, it's moisturized to cut down throat irritants. So, friends, smoke the new, richer-tasting, yet milder Raleigh 903.
And now Dave Rose and his orchestra will cloud up and play Stormy Weather.
Of the Skelton scrapbook was written by Edna Skelton Brzezegi. It's entitled The Old Schoolhouse.
Oh, my, there's a police car out front. I wonder what's wrong in the neighborhood. Good heavens, they have Junior.
Does this little boy live here, madam?
Yes. Junior, are you all right? What's happened?
Boy, it looks like I hit the jackpot this time, boy. Hey, Nemo, will you pay me bail? I ain't got no money, I ain't.
Junior, What's your grammar? I haven't any money.
What?
I haven't any money.
You look like you had to lock me up. We both broke.
Officer, what happened?
Oh, it's not as bad as it looks, lady. On the way home, he told me his story, and it makes sense. So I think I'd hear him out.
Uh-oh. I knew they were going to follow us. There they come now. Look, the head of the school board and the kindergarten teacher. They'll give you the details. I'll just keep them out there.
Madam, I'm Mr. Pastay of the school board. Are you this boy's mother?
No, she's my grandma, you know. My mommy went down to see me pop. She's trying to explain to him it wasn't B.T.'s the night I was born. It was me.
Now, look. Will someone please explain what this is all about?
Well, this child... And I use the word loosely. Was the cause of every student in the school picking up their books and going home.
Oh, dear. Won't you come in?
Please say you won't.
Please sit down and make yourself at home.
Thank you.
Can I get you a hot foot or something?
Junior! Now, won't you sit down, Mr. Passay?
Thanks. I prefer to stand.
Well, I think I'm going to sit down while I got a chance. I got a feeling I won't be able to sit down for a long time.
Junior, stand up.
Sure.
Now, what happened? I want your side of the story first.
Yes?
Now, go ahead.
You called me a gourdhead.
But you called me a gourdhead, you did.
You
said you called me a gourdhead.
I did not. I said go ahead.
You go.
Oh, I thought you called me a gourdhead. Well, I tell you, it was like this. This morning I poked my widow head out the window and there was a big crash.
A big crash?
I forgot the window was closed. Well, anyway, I looked outside and I saw all the widow kids going to school. There was Jack Berry, Widow Dickie Orland, and the juvenile jury crowd. And when I see them kids, I said to myself, I'm going to go to school too. So I grabbed some books and I decided to go with them.
Well, let's see what books you have under your arm.
There.
How to Pick Winning Horses by Shirtless Sam. How to Mix Drinks. Junior, I told you a million times to stay away from your father's library.
Well, I didn't touch his books. I only got the ones that he borrowed from you.
Go on, continue with your story.
Well, when I got there, and Grandma, I was old enough to start the school, I sure hope the city hall and the parks are paid for, boy, because this town really needs a new school. That place is a fire trap.
Fire trap? I resent that. We have the finest schools in the country.
Well, what country are you thinking of? Hiroshima? Well, that school is in such bad shape, and it's so old that the termites bring their lunch with them every day.
Junior, never mind your opinions. Just tell me what happened.
Well, when I got to the door, there was a teacher standing there, and she said I was too young to start the school, see?
Yes.
But I want to go to school, so I sneak around to the side of the building, and I slide down the coal chute, and I fall right in front of the janitor.
What did he do?
Nothing. I fell on one knee and sang Mammy, and he thought I was Al Jolson. Well, then I walk out in the hall, and I found a room filled with widow kids, you know, the kindergarten. There was a... Hey, Nemo, why does he have the kindergartens in the basement?
I don't know, dear. I've never given it much thought.
Oh, I can explain that. It's good psychology. A child can learn in education, as in life, that they must start at the bottom.
Oh?
That's why the kindergarten's in the basement, and the sixth grade is on the top floor.
Yeah? Well, yes. I got news for you, kiddo. You'd better get a new building, or that sixth grade is going to wind up in the kindergarten.
I can see why this boy is a little troublemaker and why he has no manners.
Rick.
He's allowed to talk back to his elders.
Rick.
In this house, sir, we believe in free speech. We hear the speaker out, and then we discuss the rights and wrongs of his views.
Yes.
Now, let's get to the bottom of this, Junior.
Why? So you can get to the bottom of me?
Junior!
Well, I tell you, anyhow, I went up the stairs. I walked up the stairs from the school, and I came to a great big classroom, and there they was somebody standing there teaching mathematics, you know.
Teaching what?
Mathematics. You know, 2 times 2.
You mean mathematics.
I said mathematics, and I... Well, anyhow, the teacher had a picture of a cow on the blackboard, and he said, now, if I cut it in two, I will have half. If I cut it again, I will have eighths. And if I cut it again, I will have sixteenths. Now, if I cut it again, what will I have? Boy, you should hear them little kids laugh at me, Hank.
Oh, no. What did you say?
I said, you cut it again, boy, you're going to have milk. Would you say I had done anything so far to get me a whipping?
Well, not exactly.
And I think I'll quit while I'm ahead.
Yes, but what happened after you ran out of the room?
Well, I went out of the room, and there was a great big statue, a man sitting in a chair holding his lapel, see? And I said to him, hello. And he said to me, hello.
Oh, no. Now, let's not dream it up.
No, I'm not. He really talked to me. I crawled up in his lap, and I talked to him for about 10 minutes, I did. He said to me, he said, do you think you would like going to school? And I said, yes, because I want to learn to be a good citizen. See? I want to be a good citizen like you, Grandma, I said. And he actually talked to me. Honestly, did. He said to me,
what's your name?
Well, my name's usually Mud, but you can call me Junior if you want to.
Well, Junior, you say you want to be a good citizen.
Yes.
Aren't you?
I guess not. I never voted. I'm a diaper delinquent, I am.
Well, you are a little young to vote.
Yeah?
What makes you feel you're a delinquent?
My grandma's hairbrush, mostly.
Hairbrush?
Yeah.
In my day, parents didn't use hairbrushes to punish their children.
Oh?
They used razor straps.
Razor straps? No wonder the kids were so sharp in those days.
Now tell me, why are you called a delinquent?
Well, I just so clumsy, I break everything, and I get on people's nerves asking a lot of questions that they can't answer. Everybody says I is the nosiest kid in the town. Oh, I get them so perturbed, I do, you know. And I only ask questions so I'll be a better citizen, you know.
Well, son, just because you're too young to find pleasure in serious discussion, and you can't understand the problems of the world, that doesn't necessarily make you a bad boy. But you don't have to be big to be a citizen. As a boy, you're a citizen, too. When you're your grandmother's age, you'll be an adult citizen. But meantime, try and be a good boy citizen. Live a boy's life. Realize the value of honor and truth. Know in your heart that your neighbor is here to serve a purpose, too. Keep peace with the boys around you. Learn the joy in understanding, loyalty, and simplicity. And above all, be a boy-like servant to God and to your country.
Say, you know, I like you. I didn't catch your name, or did you throw it?
It's Lincoln, son.
Lincoln?
Abraham Lincoln.
Well, could I ask you something, Mr. Lincoln? Now, you've been here a long time, see. Do you like sitting in this old schoolhouse?
Well, this school is far better than the school I went to when I was your age. But then, it still isn't good enough. Somehow, it doesn't fit in with the progress of our country. I sit here year after year and watch new children go by me. They look at the dull walls and the old desks. And soon I hear them say, let's not go to school. Let's play hooky. And I keep thinking that if only the people would do something about furnishing new schools in bright colors, surround our youth with some of the beauty that our books tell them about. Let them know that our efforts have been good, that we're counting on their future for perfection. I'm sure our children would understand. And then, schools would be as popular as the ice cream parlors.
You said it, Mr. Lincoln. Boy, this place here is like a San Quentin with books, you know? Look, I think I better get myself down to the kindergarten class now. Goodbye, Mr. Lincoln. I won't be forgetting you.
That's very kind, son. A lot of Americans have. Goodbye, sir.
I've never heard of such an imagination all my life. That statue of Abraham Lincoln was in the school when I went there, and it never talked to me.
Well, old Abe is pretty particular who he speaks to.
That boy is just evading the issue. He's afraid to tell you what he did to my class.
Now, just be patient, and he'll get around.
Yeah, he'll get around to it. Now, after I left Honest Abe, I walked into old Beetlepush's class.
Well, Junior, she does not have a Beetlepush.
Oh?
Now, say you're sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry you don't have a Beetlepush. I'm sorry for what I just said, and I'm sorry for what I'm going to say. Well, anyway, I walked into her class, and there was all the little kids. They were stringing beads, and they was weaving paper strings together, you know. I thought I was on an Indian reservation, you know. Well, anyhow, they all looked so bored, they had that drop-dead feeling about it, you know. So I walked in and broke it up.
All right, now tell her what you did.
I said, howdy, fellas. Any of you kids know anything about model airplanes? Well, the way they swarmed around me, you'd think I was the queen bee of the hive, you would.
When I tried to reassemble the class, this little urchin yelled, take five, sister. Out of here.
Yes, I did. And then all of us kids got talking about building things. And how dangerous old buildings were, and how a little short circuit could be caused. Mice and little mice, you know, nibbling on the wires. You could set fire to the place, and then we talked about how quick an old building could burn down.
Oh, what's wrong, Junior?
If we scared ourselves.
Poor baby.
Yeah, poor baby.
Bless his little heart.
Yeah, bless his little heart.
Don't cry, Junior. Don't cry.
You mean you're not mad at me for marching all the little kids out of the school singing Yankee Doodle?
No. No, I'm not, Junior.
Oh?
I'm beginning to realize it's not the children at fault these days.
No.
It's we adults who are being hoodwinked by tradition. We feel because we went to a certain type of school, our children should, too. And all the time, we're overlooking the danger of old fire traps.
Miss Tuttle, believe me, the school board will hear about this.
And so will the PTA. This pushing the teachers around and surrounding our children with the leftovers of the tax money is going to stop.
And how do you think you're going to be able to solve the situation?
Well, kiddo, open up your ears and I'll tell you. All of us little kids are going to tell our parents that they can do it with a little four-letter word that maybe they forgot about. V-O-T-E.
Yes, by voting for it.
Yeah.
If you'll excuse me, I've got to go to the library and study up on model airplanes.
Good for you. Good for
splendid you. Splendid idea. And if you'll excuse me, I've got to go to a council meeting and discuss improving our school. Oh, and Junior.
Yeah?
Maybe that statue did talk to me, only I didn't pay any attention.
He's talking to a lot of people that don't pay attention, you know.
Right,
Junior. Yeah. Well, Namo, you excuse me. I'm going down to the candy kitchen.
Just a minute. Why do you have to go to the candy
kitchen? Well, those kindergarten kids are having a victory celebration. I'm the president, you know.
Well, it's almost lunchtime. You're not going anywhere.
But I'm the president.
Yes, and I just vetoed you.
Now, look, Gromyko. I said I was heading for the candy kitchen.
Don't you sass me, young
yeah,
man.
No.
Boy, you can tell you from the old school, Grandma. You got that old message. Start at the bottom, you know.
Remember, we'll all be with you again next Tuesday at the same time. Until next Tuesday, then.
This is Red Skelton saying goodbye now, and thanks for listening. And remember, there are very few juvenile delinquents. Stop paying the teachers peanuts and the children will stop acting like monkeys.
Sir Walter Raleigh, the pipe tobacco that rates superior on all five counts. Check them. A rich, ripe, full-bodied, burly blend. Sir Walter Raleigh, pipe tobacco. Mellowed with rum for extra smoothness. Deep down, satisfying goodness. That's Sir Walter Raleigh, pipe tobacco. Clean smoking all the way down. No soggy heel. Leaves only a clean, dry ash. And that's Sir Walter Raleigh, pipe tobacco. Crimp cut for slow, even, cool burning. Yes, Sir Walter Raleigh, pipe tobacco. The brand of grand aroma. Keeps home, sweet home. It's Sir Walter Raleigh. Sooner or later, your favorite tobacco. Yes, a favorite with college men, servicemen, businessmen. Men everywhere who know and appreciate quality pipe smoking. Smoke Sir Walter Raleigh, the quality pipe tobacco of America.
We'll always invite you to other good listening throughout the week. Listen to People Are Funny with Art Linkletter next Friday and join us again with Red Skelton next Tuesday. During this critical period in world affairs, President Truman asks all Americans to cooperate in the food conservation program in order to aid Europe's attempt at reconstruction. Our failure to help may endanger our own security, prosperity, and peace.
May we take this opportunity to say happy birthday to Fanny Bryce on her 43 years in show business.
Red Skelton is heard in this program through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and is brought to you by the makers of Raleigh Cigarettes.
And Columbia Cigarettes.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.